Hello there. Welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and guess what? There is a chair reserved for you here at my table. I tell you this each week, but I do mean it. So good to be able to sit around the table with you and talk about God's Word in Sacred Scripture. This week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, Jesus Helps the Helpless. Now, I'm excited about these readings. I was praying about them and reading over them before the program. They're going to be, so often in Scripture, there are many levels to the message, I believe, that the Lord has for us. So today's readings about Jesus helping the helpless, that's a very broad theme. There's also a more specific theme about healing. So I think it's important that when we look at Scriptures, and so many times this doesn't happen, so I really think we want to be careful about this. We don't want to take too narrow of a focus when it comes to the Scriptures. However, if we need the narrow focus, specifically meaning you're looking for a physical healing in your life or in the life of someone you love, doesn't have to be a physical healing, it could be an emotional healing or spiritual healing, then let these readings speak that message to you. But I'm going to approach it from the overall broader message of Jesus helps those who are helpless. And you're going to see that unfold as we look at the readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So I invite you to settle in. You know, one thing, I have a chair for you. I don't bring snacks. So if you would like to bring your own snack, you're going to be on your own with that. But feel free to relax, put up your feet, grab a snack, and settle in, because we're going to be here for the next 30 minutes talking about these readings. So why don't we do this? Why don't we turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer right now? And let's ask for the grace that we need to really get something out of the remaining 20-something minutes of this program. Please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being present with us right now. As I look around, Father, I can't see you. I can see a number of different things, but I can't see you. But that really makes sense because, Father, we know by faith that you are pure spirit. You're invisible. You don't have a physical body. And therefore, we shouldn't expect to see you. But by faith, not only can we accept the fact that you are invisible and that you are here with us, but by faith, we can also believe, choose to believe, that you hear our words. So as I speak these words, Father, I know you're listening. I don't have to feel you to believe that. I can stand on my faith, exercise my faith, and say, yes, you are with me right now, Father. And as we approach you today in prayer, we recognize that you are all-powerful, all-loving, and all-knowing. You care about us. You care about our needs. You care about the fact that we need to be healed in so many different ways, and that we have intentions, and that we can't provide for our own needs without your help. You know that, and because you love us, you want to do something to help us. So, Father, as we turn to you in prayer right now, we do so knowing that you are a loving and almighty God, but you're also our Father, because you chose to adopt us. So we thank you for that, Father. We lift up all of our own personal needs today. We pray for the needs of those who are hurting, those who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are hopeless. We pray for those with nowhere to live, living on the streets. We pray for those who are confined to hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, rehab facilities. We pray for those who are lost, who are looking for direction in their lives. We pray for our family members. We pray for our friends. We pray for our fellow brothers and sisters, members of your church. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for those who are looking for work. And lastly, Father, I pray that you give me the grace today to speak your message. Please send your Holy Spirit upon me so that I can deliver your message today. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear your message and choose to put it into practice in our lives. Father God, I ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, we're going to look this week at the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, you know, I get a little nervous doing this, but I want to sort of frame this to give you an idea of where we stand in the church year, the liturgical year. There are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. And then the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we're, what, 11 weeks away from the end of the church year and the beginning of the new church year, which just happens to be Advent. Isn't that incredible? I mean, it's, again, kind of scary that we're that close, but I want to let you know that just so you have an idea where we stand. And you've heard me say in the past, I've let you know that I do have a new book out. It's called Find Peace in Advent. It's a daily devotional meant to be used during the Advent season. It is available for purchase now. You can go online to Amazon or to Barnes & Noble or to Ave Maria Press, the publisher of the book, any of these number of different sites, and pick up your copy now. We're not going to talk about it for several more weeks, but you know, before you know it, it will be Advent. And I am excited this year because I've wanted to write an Advent book for a long time. It's very similar in format to Give Up Worry for Lent, except that it's applied to the Advent season. And the goal is to help you find peace during Advent. The title speaks for itself, and that's what I hope to happen if you pick up a copy of this book. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to Advent, but I just wanted to let you know it is there. If you'd like to find out more about my work and my other books, maybe find out how to bring me to speak to your parish. I am still doing local talks. I mentioned that my wife is, because of her medical condition, at the moment I'm not doing any travel outside of the Philadelphia, South Jersey area. But I am available to do local talks. As long as I can get home at the end of the day, I can speak at your parish or your conference. So for any of that information about me and my ministry, just visit followingthetruth.com for more information. That's followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's free of charge. You can do that also at followingthetruth.com. Okay, going to take a sip of my water and get ready to go now as we look at the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Jesus helps the helpless. You know, one of the big problems, and as I look at these readings, they are not overly long today, so we got a little extra time, which is good. Sometimes I look at the Mass readings as we do this show, and I think, oh man, I got to really rush to get them all in. Today we could chill a little bit, take our time, because they're not overly long, but they're powerful. This message, Jesus helps the helpless, is a good one. And here's why, because I've revealed this to you in the past. I'll share it again. I'm a control freak. I like to be in control. That's one of the reasons I struggle with worry. Because when things appear to be headed in a different direction, a direction that I might not be pleased with, things in my life, or maybe I'm looking at a problem and I'm potentially looking at the negative consequences that could come out of this. You know the feeling? I start to panic, and I want to somehow try to regain control or maintain control of my life, oftentimes trying to control what's uncontrollable. And you talk about a recipe for anxiety. That's it. When we start trying to control things that we can't control, we're going to make ourselves nervous wrecks. The good news is that once we admit how much we need God and how powerless we really are about so many things in life, really about everything, but I'll just leave it at so many things, and how dependent we are on God, it takes some of the pressure off of us and it gives us a way forward. When I have a problem in my life that I can't handle on my own, and again, even if I can handle it on my own, God's still giving me the ability to handle it. But there are some things He does want us to do on our own. If I can, perhaps I'm worried about what's going to happen to my family after I die. How are they going to survive financially? Well, you can take out a life insurance policy. When your company starts struggling and you wonder, am I going to get laid off? You can update your resume and begin looking for a job. If you're not feeling well and you're worried this could be something serious, you can go to the doctor. You see, there's things that you can do about certain situations. If you're in school and you have a test coming up and you don't think you're going to do well, what can you do? You can study for the test. Now, again, God helps you to do all these things. We can't do anything on our own because He's sustaining our lives. But He allows us, He gives us free will, He gives us gifts, talents, abilities, skills, whatever you want to call them. And He expects us to do what we can to solve our problems. You know, if you're looking to pay the monthly bills and you're not working, you don't have a job, and you're not looking for a job, that's not what God wants you to do. You're just sitting around praying. If the first thing He expects you to do is try to handle whatever the problem is on your own. And in the case of somebody who's unemployed, it would be looking for work. Now, I've been in the position before where I'm looking and looking and looking and applying and applying and applying and nothing's happening. Well, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm dependent on Him to ultimately send me a job. But I'm still looking. So in other words, He wants us to do what we can. But there comes a time when we have a problem, and I got a few of them in my life now that I think about. They're weighing on me. And I can't do anything about it. Now, of course, there's always something you can do about your problems. You can always pray, and that's what God wants you to do. But I'm getting ahead of myself. When you get to a problem that is virtually unsolvable, you can do one of two things. You can begin to worry, which could ultimately lead to hopelessness, despair, which is not good. Or you can get down on your knees and pray. And ask the Lord to help. So when you think that there's nothing else you could do, there is always something else you can do. People have written to me, oh my gosh, the state of the country, the United States is a mess. Listen, there's something we can do. We can pray and we can vote. You know, rather than panic and think the world is a disaster, it's coming to an end. Look at the time when Jesus came into the world. And what He had to deal with, and what the Israelites had to deal with. The Romans were in charge, and then you had Christian persecution, even after our Lord died. It was not an easy time, by any means. God's still in charge. So when you look at the world, you look at whatever the problem is, the government, the situation, homelessness, poverty, there's always something you can do. You can pray, possibly donate. And in the case of the government, you can vote. But the Lord gives us these opportunities when we recognize that we're helpless and we can't fix our problems. You know, you're going to have some problems like that. You probably have some right now. And that's when we can either give into discouragement, despair, hopelessness, or we could turn to Him with hope. But once you recognize you can't fix your own problem, that's the opportunity to turn to God, who sent His Son into the world to help the helpless. That's today's theme. So let's look at the gospel as we always do. We start off with the gospel for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to Him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and beg him to lay his hand on him. Now, here we have a man who was deaf, and he had a speech impediment too. So he was doubly handicapped. And Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, and he groaned, and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and he said, "He has done all things well." And they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." One of the things about this is you see Jesus telling the people, don't tell anybody about this. And one of the possible reasons, I think the most practical reason, is Jesus didn't want to be known strictly as a miracle healer or a miracle worker. He had a bigger mission. Jesus would use miracles and he would heal people to show those who needed a boost in faith that he was divine. In other words, he spoke as the Son of God, and in order to get the attention of the people, he needed to prove it. He also needed to illustrate, I don't want to say he needed to, by his healing of people who were in need of healing, he demonstrated, that's a better word, his compassion for those who were hurting and sick. So, remember I said at the beginning, we can look at this gospel, and you'll see in the other readings as well, very narrowly, and say, and take from it, Jesus can heal those who are sick. And you know what? That's a valid interpretation, and he can. So if you are, or someone you know, is in need of any kind of healing in body, such as a physical healing, deafness, like in this case, spiritually, somebody struggling with their faith, or emotionally, anxiety disorders, mental illness. Jesus can perform that healing. Here's proof in the gospel that he can do it. So I would say that's a relatively narrow interpretation of this gospel, and it's valid. You can look at it multiple ways. And then if we expand this a little bit more, we get a more general interpretation, a broader interpretation, meaning, and you'll see this illustrated when you look at the other readings, not only can Jesus heal those who are in need of healing, body, mind, and spirit, Jesus can help those who are helpless. For instance, somebody who's struggling financially, somebody who's lonely, somebody who's dealing with grief, somebody who's dealing with habitual sin, same sins over and over, they feel trapped, a destructive habit, alcoholism, somebody addicted to drugs, shopping addictions, pornography, even cigarettes. You know, he can cure on many different levels. He can help the helpless. So you see, you have a broad interpretation, Jesus helps the helpless, but you can narrow it down to he can also heal physical ailments. Sometimes I hear various people interpret the scriptures in such a broad way that they lose sight of the narrow, the basic. Yes, Jesus can heal you from the effects of sin. That is the most important healing. But he can also heal you of an illness. Sometimes he will, sometimes he'll choose to let it remain. You know, you never know for sure if you're going to be healed physically. So I like the broader approach, which includes the more narrow interpretation. Yes, Jesus can help, can and will help the helpless. But he can also, very specifically, cure a physical ailment. Let's look at the first reading, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7. Thus says the Lord, "Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And as you see this, hopefully you can see the connection, why the church chose this first reading to match up with the gospel. The eyes of the deaf will be cleared. The eyes of the blind will be opened. We see these physical healings prophesied in the Old Testament by Isaiah. In other words, people who knew the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, as they were known at the time. There was no New Testament prior to Jesus, the time of Jesus, and actually after, several years after Jesus ascended into heaven. There was no New Testament yet. It was still being written. But this is an indication of what the Messiah can and will do when he comes. So people who knew the scriptures, and they see Jesus performing these healings, the hope, God's hope was that some of them would make the connection and say, yes, he's the Messiah. And that's why Jesus did what he did. So it's good stuff when we look at that. Now let's look at the responsorial psalm. And again, I think you'll see a connection between this idea of Jesus helping the helpless. Psalm 146, praise the Lord, my soul. The God of Jacob keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The oppressed, those who are hungry, those who are in captivity, they can't help themselves. So Jesus was ultimately sent to help those who can't help themselves. And again, the broadest interpretation of that involves heaven. Jesus opened the gates of heaven. And he won the victory for you and me on the cross so that we, with the help of his grace, can make it to heaven one day. Jesus helps the helpless. Back to the psalm. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Again, he's helping the helpless. The fatherless and the widow the Lord sustains. But the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Praise the Lord, my soul. Now, do you see the connection there? He's helping the helpless. Those who don't want his help, those who are turning away from him, maybe doing evil, trying to do things on their own, they're going to flounder without the help of the Lord. We need him, and he wants to help us. All right, let's look at the second reading, see if we can find a connection here. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there, or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Now, you know, I've said this to you before. The second reading in ordinary time isn't necessarily chosen specifically by the church to fit in with the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the gospel. Those three are chosen. The gospel is moving along sequentially week by week, and then the church picks a first reading and a responsorial psalm to match up or to supplement the message in the gospel. The second reading, like the gospel, is just proceeding along sequentially. So we're in the letter of James right now, and we'll continue with that until we move on to another book of the Bible. But I believe that if you look hard enough, you can find a connection. And what hit me with this one is that God chose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom. When we are poor, when we realize that we need God, not just to get through this life on earth, but to make it to heaven. When we realize that, when we recognize our spiritual poverty, I can't do this on my own, then he helps us. He gives us through faith the help we need, not just to deal with the problems in this world, but to make it to heaven one day, where we are heirs of the kingdom. He adopted us. God the Father adopted us as his children. And he wants to help us. And there's a case where we can do nothing about getting to heaven on our own. All we can do is cling to Jesus Christ, and by the grace that he gives us, we can cooperate with that grace and one day make it to heaven. But we're not working our way to heaven, because without his grace, we could never get there. Christ won the victory for us. He opened the gates of heaven. And because of what he did, I can allow myself to be helped by him, because he helps the helpless and one day make it to heaven. Yeah, there's a responsibility that I have. It's not automatic. I've got to cooperate with his grace, but without his grace, I'm not going to get to heaven. So Jesus helps the helpless. Whatever you're in need of today, a healing, material, spiritual, emotional, struggling with finances, you need the grace to stop committing the same sin over and over again, turn to him for that help. And the main way he's going to give you that help is through the sacraments. And the two sacraments that we repeatedly are encouraged to receive are the Eucharist and confession. Please don't forget that. And also, if you're sick, the sacrament of the sick will help you to heal you, body, mind, and spirit. All right, we got about 30 seconds left. I hope this show helped you today. And if you're in need of help, if you're struggling, know that Jesus wants to help you. If you have any questions, email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. In the meantime, feel free to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. In the summer months, I'm getting low on donations. So if you'd like to help fund my ministry, you could do that by going to followingthetruth.com. And I would really appreciate it. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.